boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. When you hear that song, you know it's time to come running. It's wonderful to sing songs about God's love. Songs like, Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves the little children, and love lifted me, and more. I suppose there are hundreds of songs telling about Jesus' love. And did you know, have you thought today, that Jesus loves you? One time when Jesus was here on earth, Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was very sick, sick unto death, and they wanted Jesus to know it and ran to him. They could have cried, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. But no, they said, Jesus, the one you love is sick. They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, and that love made the difference. And do you know that Jesus loves you too? Well, he does. So much so that he gave his life to pay for your sin, so that if you will trust him, you can go to heaven to be with him someday. Now that is real love. I hope you will receive him as your Savior, so that you can not only say that Jesus loves you, but also that you love him. Think about that as the choir sings. Thank you, choir. You know, kids, one of the unwritten rules in my childhood home was you can't quit. And don't quit ought to be a super rule in our lives now. It has been said that Thomas Edison performed thousands of experiments in inventing the light bulb before he was successful. But he didn't quit. How many races have been won by somebody who just wouldn't quit? Did you ever hear anyone blurt out, I quit? I knew a man once who was doing important work, but felt it was too hard. Finally, he had enough and said, I quit, and walked off the job. And did you know that a king of England actually abdicated the throne? He said, I quit, and left the royal palace. You may ask, why? Why would anyone do that? Why would a worker give up an important job? Why would a king leave his throne? Why would they quit? It was because they loved something or someone more than they loved the person or cause for which they're working. So, if your parents or teacher give you a job or duty, you may not like it. It may even be hard. But you do it to show your love for them. David Livingston spent many hard years of hardships in Africa, but he loved Jesus, and he loved the African people, and he wouldn't quit. Sometime we may face a task or situation when it'll be hard to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember whom you love and what he has done for you. Don't give in. Don't quit. Stand true to Christ, even in the face of opposition. Stand true to him, even if you have to stand alone. Don't quit. What if God looked down from heaven on the world and all the ways people sin and mock him and take his name in vain and harden their hearts against his word? What if he said, that's it, I quit. And he quit holding the world together and quit giving us water and food and protection? What if he just walked off the job? We would be sunk. Remember, God has not quit on you. Now you must not quit on him. God will strengthen you and someday reward you as only he can. Stand true. Don't quit. Now, here's the choir. A man can eat fish, but what about a fish eating a man? Jonah was running from God. He should have known better, but in his rebellion he just kept going. And when the sailors threw him overboard, God had a big surprise waiting. God prepared a great big fish, and at God's command, it opened its great big mouth and swallowed Jonah down whole in one giant gulp. I suppose the fish was surprised at such an unusual lunch, but Jonah was terrified. With seaweed wrapping around him, he cried out to God from the dark depths of the fish's stomach. Miraculously, God kept the fish from digesting Jonah's body, and Jonah prayed to God to save him. He knew he couldn't save himself, for he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." After 3 days and three nights, God brought Jonah to life. He gave that giant fish a giant stomach ache and made it vomit Jonah out on dry land. Amazing! The fish was more obedient to God than Jonah. Now Jonah was right back where he had started. He'd paid for a ticket to Tarshish, but he got a bigger cruise than he bargained for. Now God called him a second time. "Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and preach what I tell you." This time Jonah went. He started at one side of the huge city, warning the people, "In 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed." That was his whole sermon. Then he would walk for a distance and stop and call out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed." The city was so large, it took 3 days to get through it. But at every stop, maybe at every street corner, Jonah warned the people of God's coming judgment. He didn't plead with them to repent or even pray. He just shouted the warning. He was obeying God, but not with any heart for the people. But praise the Lord, the people paid attention and believed the message. They put on sackcloth to show their sorrow and repentance. The king even heeded the warning. He was so shaken that he got down from his throne, put on sackcloth, and even sat down in ashes to show his repentance for sin. He commanded all the people to fast, to take no food or water, or give any to their animals, but to plead with God for mercy, to spare their lives and their city. God saw their hearts and answered their prayers. What joy and praise to God! That is joy for everyone except Jonah. Jonah wasn't glad. He was mad. He was angry. Angry that the people repented and angry that God let them live. He muttered to God, "I knew it. I knew if I warned the Ninevites of destruction, they would repent, and you would spare them. That's why I fled to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious, merciful God, and sure enough, you have spared them. I just wish I were dead. Just kill me. I'd rather die than live." what a state Jonah was in. God gently asked him, "Jonah, is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah didn't even answer. He just went outside the city limits, built a little booth, sat down under it, and pouted, just watching to see what would happen to Nineveh. God was merciful to the repentant city, but he was merciful to his overwrought prophet, too. He prepared a gourd to grow up so the leaves shaded Jonah's head. Jonah was glad. But then God prepared a cutworm. The worm cut the plant, and it died, and Jonah's shade was gone. Then God sent a strong east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head. He was so miserable he fainted. He just wanted to die. Oh, God pitied Jonah, but asked him, "Jonah, you had pity on the gourd. Shouldn't I have pity on a huge city of 60,000 people who have no understanding of me? And shouldn't I pity their many cattle too?" God loved the Ninevites and wanted to save them. Jonah seemed heartless and unrepentant, but God did not forsake him. How much better it would have been if he had willingly obeyed God. How different would the story have been? In the same way, how important it is that we have tender hearts to willingly obey God, to be his witness wherever and whenever he calls. Willing obedience to God's word and will is the only way of joy. David said in Psalm 16, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, my dear children, there's one more thing. Someday you may meet someone who makes fun of Jonah being swallowed by the great fish and coming out alive. They may say it's just a myth. Don't let the mockers bother you. Remind them that the account is in the Bible. God's word is true. You can also tell them that when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he taught his disciples that Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, and it was a picture of his own death, burial, and resurrection. How thankful we are for God's word and for his great salvation through his beloved Son. Now, God bless you. Until next time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, ChildrensBibleClub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.